You have just been given the chance to look deep into the life of another person. Three people, three stories, three lives. Before you push these images and feelings aside, I ask you to focus upon them, if only for a moment. Hold each story in your palm. How does it feel? How do their lives feel? Terrifying, isn't it? At least, that's how I feel. These stories, though a fictional creation from writer and Asbury student Taylor Darden, they are horrifically accurate. My name is Alex Hedgepeth. I'm here to bring light to a subject that's typically kept hidden. I am here to inform you that slavery still exists. Slavery, it's a word that brings images of chains and shackles to the minds of many. But to much of the world, slavery is not something of history, of Lincoln and the Underground Railroad. Rather, slavery to many is a daily reality. There are currently 27 million people enslaved worldwide. 200,000 of them are enslaved in the land of the free and the brave, the United States. This practice of modern-day slavery is known as human trafficking. It is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world, second only to drug trafficking. As of 2008, the selling of humans outpassed the illegal weapon trade. As seen through Taylor's drama, slaves are normal people. In all reality, most of us have met or seen a slave at some point in our life and never realized it. Slaves look and feel just like we do. Anyone can become a victim of human trafficking. Men, women, adults, children, educated or illiterate, the vulnerable are preyed upon. The oppressed, the marginalized, the abused, the homeless, the poor, and the scared. 80% of slaves are women. 50% of all slaves are children. These souls are captured and trapped. They are forced, coerced, and defrauded into slavery. To understand this concept of force, fraud, and coercion, I would like to tell you a true story of trafficking. Although the names have changed, the story is completely true. I warn you, what you are about to hear is difficult. Viola, a young Albanian, was 13 when she started dating 21-year-old Dylan, who proposed to marry her. They moved to Italy, where Dylan said he had cousins who could get him a job. Arriving in Italy, Viola's life changed forever. Dylan locked her in a hotel room and left her, never to be seen of again. A group of men entered and began to beat Viola. Then, each raped her. The leader informed Viola that Dylan had sold her and that she had to obey him or she would be killed. For 7 days, Viola was beaten and repeatedly raped. Viola was sold a second time to someone who beat her head so badly she was unable to see for 2 days. She was told if she didn't work as a prostitute, her mother and sister in Albania would be raped and killed. Viola was forced to submit to prostitution until police raided the brothel in which she was held. She was deported to Albania. Human trafficking is ugly, and unfortunately, it is happening at a growing rate. Every year, the human trafficking industry generates $32 billion. The revenue is massive. The average price of a slave is $90. Since the transatlantic slave trade, the price of a person has depreciated by 77%. A child is worth about $20. There is an endless supply of new victims available, so naturally the trade continues to increase. The trouble is, we have seemed to turn our back to the problem. Slavery has become so normal that we don't even notice it. Slaves are held as prisoners right in front of the rest of us. Slaves are used in pornography, strip clubs, live sex shows, and particularly children become tourist attractions in sex tourism. They are forced into prostitution, sold as mail order brides and military prostitutes. They work as domestic servants, farm workers, and restaurant workers. Slaves can be found in sweatshops, brick kilns, nail salons, and hotel housekeepers. Any industry can harbor slaves. Because of the versatility of their chains, a slave could be anywhere at any time. The waitress at a Mexican restaurant, the nail girl at the local nail salon, the man harvesting your crops, the prostitute on the street corner. It seems nearly hopeless. And yet, if that was the case, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. There is hope. As Christians, we should realize this to be true. Perhaps this will be a surprise to you, but each one of us in this very room was a slave at one point. No, we weren't beaten. No, we were not forced to do the unspeakable. But yes, we too were held in chains. And when we forget about these chains, well, a man named Paul is there to remind us. In Romans, Paul writes that at one point we were all slaves to sin. And yet through Christ, our chains were broken, our cage unlocked. Romans 6 says that sin is no longer our master. We have been set free. So what does all this mean anyway? We all know there is hope, even enough hope for 27 million people in chains, chains of fear, chains of trafficking. There is a group of Asbury College students who have been set free and want to set the world on fire. They want to bring awareness to this issue and to open the doors and break the bars of prisoners worldwide and set free those trapped in them. The Asbury College Human Trafficking Task Force believes that chains can be broken. As a passionate participant, I can personally tell you that we will not sit back and watch lives be destroyed. I call on you, students, faculty, and friends listening and watching online worldwide. You have been chosen by Christ as lovers of justice. Please do not look the other way. Do not walk out of these doors untouched. On behalf of myself, of the task force, and victims trapped in slavery, Asbury College, rise up. Rise up. Christ gave us freedom. Embrace this gift, this hope, and become the abolitionist you are called to be. Asbury, I am honored to introduce you to someone who has accepted this call. An abolitionist in every way, he advocates on behalf of any victim, whether that be of poverty, homelessness, intimate partner abuse, HIV and AIDS, or human trafficking. This man lives his life through the act of freeing souls trapped in chains, whatever their cause. A man close to my heart in many ways, Asbury, may I introduce Dave Essery.
Morning. All right. Well, now that you've heard a little bit about the issue of human trafficking, I wanted to take a couple minutes and just explain kind of what God's been doing in my heart. Starting around my junior year of high school, God really started to shape my heart towards those in need. Everything I was doing at the time, trips I was taking, books I was reading, friendships I was forming, they were all being used to change my heart, to change the way I was thinking, and what was important to me. All of these things began to show me a world full of need and full of pain. It was a world I couldn't ignore, and I didn't want to. It may sound redundant, but I loved the things I was passionate for. I loved caring so deeply for the needs that I was seeing. My senior year of high school, I was an intern with my youth pastor, who was a mentor of mine. He was taking some seminary classes at the time, and every time that he had a paper to write, we would just spend some time sitting in Starbucks, discussing what he had to write about and the scripture that he was going through. During one of those conversations, we were talking about the idea of caring for the poor and needy. He started showing me, really for the first time, how consistent of a theme that is in Scripture. Time and again, God was shown as the God of the poor, the broken, the needy. Psalm 146, for example, describes that God. It says, "He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow." This excited me. I realized that the passions that were starting to grow in my heart were there because that's what God cared about. It's like the song we sang this morning, Hosanna. The one line from that song that has always stuck out to me is the line that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." That's what I saw God starting to do. He was calling me to care. He was calling me to care about what matters to him, and that's what we're all called to do. Proverbs 31 tells us, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Now, I got to Asbury College, and God continued the work he'd been doing in me. I had more opportunities to grow and to get involved through missions trips and outreach projects. The first time I heard of human trafficking was early in my sophomore year. There was a church out in Lexington that was putting on an event one evening just to raise awareness about the issue, so I went with a group of other students. I heard about it, learned a little bit, went on my way, figuring that was pretty much the end of it. Over the next several months, however, I started to learn a lot more and hear a lot more on the issue in classes I was taking, then in a conference that I attended, and then later in my own research. Last semester, the Human Trafficking Task Force was started here on campus. It was just a small group of students who had similar passions, but they really wanted to get involved and be active. They saw this huge need and decided that it was worth their time. For me, getting involved with them seemed like the natural progression of my heart's formation. My passion was to help those who needed it, the overlooked and the undervalued. That's what I saw here. The victims of human trafficking are human beings, image bearers of God, who are denied their most basic rights. They're denied freedom. They're denied justice. They're beaten, raped, and killed, while the rest of the world turns a blind eye and refuses to intercede. That is why I had to get involved. And God has given me the opportunities to do so. I've been able to attend conferences on the subject, learn more and more about it, and be trained in how to deal with human trafficking situations. Now, I'm the kind of person who would be so frustrated if all I ever did was sit and talk about something that I cared about. That's fine for me, that's fine for a while, but I want to get out and do something with that. And so that's why, for me, the most exciting opportunity I've had so far is the chance that I have to go to Thailand and Cambodia with a group of Asbury students at the end of this semester. We'll be working with women and children, mostly children, who either have been victims of sex trafficking or who are at very high risk of falling victim to it because of their family situations, their backgrounds, that kind of thing. The organization we're going with provides them with shelter, counseling, and skills training. We will be going to show them God's love. We will be going to bring them hope. And because we are going, human trafficking will not just be an issue for us. It will be a reality that we have seen and touched. And we will not be dealing with statistics. They will be real people that we know. The theme of this year's student chapel is Get Focused, Get Out. That's what I'm here to encourage you to do. Get out there and do something. Personally, I hate it when I'm sitting in chapel and the speaker finishes without ever giving any sort of application. So I'm left wondering, all right, now what? What am I supposed to do with what I've just heard? So here are some ways you can actually get involved. First, there are companies, websites. One of them is madebysurvivors.com that sells things made by women and children who have been victims of human trafficking. The money that they get goes to allow these individuals to be financially self-sufficient, to be secure in their new freedom. Second, Lexington has its own human trafficking task force that is fighting human trafficking that it finds in the city. You can look them up, see what they have going on, see how you can get involved with them. Also, the Asbury College Human Trafficking Task Force has a meeting a week from tomorrow, 7 o'clock, in the Kinlaw Library boardroom. Specifically, we'll be discussing labor trafficking and the supply and demand of human trafficking. We'll also discuss ways you can be more active. We're going to be looking for people to help us get local churches involved in this. We're going to be looking for people to do things like Taylor did this morning, to take their talents and use them to make a difference. We're going to be attending conferences and learning more so that we can teach others. And we're going to be taking more trips to actually get out into the world and meet this issue head on. There are things that you can do. An issue this big can seem overwhelming. But as Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for this time we get to come together as a body of believers, God. A time for us to just open ourselves up for you to touch us. I pray that, Lord, that you would move in our hearts. Help us to love the way you love, God. And stir us to action, God. Stir us to doing the things that matter most to you. God, as we go out, continue to work in our hearts. Continue to motivate us and to change us, to form us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Go in peace.